2016. This is interviews, music reviews, and more. This is The Hotter Show.
What is up, everybody? We're rolling out of you here today on episode 393 of The Hotter Show. I hope you guys are doing absolutely fantastic. Thank you so very much for tuning in and clicking that play button on today's episode of the podcast. I have a wonderful episode for you here today, as I try to have every single time here on The Hotter Show. I am sitting down to the date 1 year later for another session with my friend, Dr. Torment, the YouTube horror narrator extraordinaire himself, and he has had a very interesting year in regards to the growth of his show, finding a little bit of his niche with doing gothic and dark poetry, and also just growing as a creator. So we talk all about that, and also our friendship that has blossomed over the last year. It's really just a fun laid-back conversation with Dr. Torment and I, and we just have a blast. We also wax poetically a little bit near the end of the episode there about our love of Has-Been Hotel. And we didn't talk Star Wars this time, but next time for sure, we'll talk some Star Wars. But be sure to stay tuned, because it was a really fun episode. And go check out Dr. Torment. He deserves your support. I want to thank everybody for their support on the last episode of The Hotter Show, my chat with Zach from Pound of Flesh. Really well-received episode. Zach was a killer guest. Big shouts again to him and the entire Pound of Flesh family and their fan base. That was a great episode. So thank you so very much for coming on the show, Zach, and also to everybody who supported that episode. Go check out Pound of Flesh. They are awesome. And they actually just announced today, as I am recording this, that they got to something cooking up. So, get ready for the purge, folks. And get ready for another session with our friend, the good Dr. Torment. So let's step inside the Asylum Tormentum, shall we? All right, folks, we're back here for another session with my friend, the dear Dr. Torment. How are you this evening, Doctor?
Greetings, TJ. I'm doing very good.
It's great to talk to you, man. 1 year ago today was our first time we had a conversation, and it has been an interesting year since then.
You could say that, yeah. Wow. Entire journey we have had.
I know. We went from not knowing each other at all to basically we almost talk every day at this point.
He stalks me, folks. I'm not a stalker.
Yeah, everyone's probably like, oh, well, you know, the guy who has tormented his name is probably the... it's like, nah, it's completely the opposite.
It's a complete misconception by the media.
Yeah. It's like, which one of you is the evil one? Well, the answer may shock you.
The friendly teddy bear with a beard.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I'm the one who's doing the night stalking, if you will.
That's not a complaint.
But dude, you've had a really wild year, just compared to where things were even a few months ago compared to now.
Oh, yes.
From the time we talked, you've had your two biggest videos that you have done at this point. You really started to explore kind of the gothic poetry, dark poetry, kind of classic literature world. And in my opinion, really kind of found your niche as a narrator. And I really think you've found your voice. How has this overall, just in a quick overall view here, has this year been for you, just kind of on this journey?
It's ups and downs, for sure. There's been ups and downs. Like in the summer, I was on a vacation. Of course, YouTube doesn't like it when you don't post for a while. And I think I was kind of blacklisted, or I don't know, put on the lower side of the algorithm, if you will, because views back then were not coming back as they were before. But prior to that vacation, I did have the video of Dagon Made, written by H.P. Lovecraft, which kind of, well, sorry to say it, but it kind of threw your story the second place Bender time.
The former champion of most views.
The former champion of most views. One by, what is it? Times nine?
Yeah. It made me happy to see. Obviously, that was a huge badge of honor to be like, yes, I am the most viewed story that he has. And then it's like, Dagon surpassed it and you know, times.
And it was, a whole and trip, it was yeah. second. It was second for a while, though. It was second for a while, but yeah, then Halloween happened.
Yeah, and then obviously since then you've had tons more content that has blown past that.
Oh god, yes.
Which is cool to see, like that, you know, as a fan and then also as your buddy now, like that makes me happy. Obviously, I want to see you do incredibly well.
Oh, thank you.
And one thing I think is so interesting, like with you kind of really finding that niche, like you also had just diving into, like, say, your next video. That was definitely your it's your biggest video at this point. So I have to obviously bring it up.
Sure.
And we'll go back to Dagon in a minute here. But the Slender Man video was I seem to remember being like almost like overnight. It was like you were like, oh, this has like a couple thousand views in like 24 hours.
Yeah, I was still awake. So imagine my surprise. So it got out live around, I want to say 10 p.m. my time, which is in about 3 hours from your time now. So imagine my surprise when I was still awake at 3 a.m. and I basically watched live, like, what the hell is happening here? Why is it not stopping at 300 views? What's happening? I just went scrolling on my phone like, nah, I need to refresh. Something's wrong. I think the algorithm is broken, Glenn. Glenn is a friend of mine. He was sitting next to me. And he was taking out his phone. He was constantly refreshing on the video page itself. Nah, man, look, you're just getting views now. I don't know how to handle that kind of positivity, so.
I feel you. But it's also like, I think that story.
The word flabbergasted comes to mind.
Yeah, I totally get it. And I think for, it lent itself well because you were ready to have that level of success on a video because that one was so well done. Because yes, have a lot of people, you know, done their take on Slenderman? Of course they have. But
sure,
what you did was so unique in the way you presented it. And that's a really good indicator on how you started to really explore kind of the, you know, you would do your story and then kind of almost do like an after report type thing. If I'm not mistaken, that was right around the time you started to experiment.
The Dr. Torment notes, right?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, that was something new I was experimenting with. I don't think Slenderman had one.
Okay, I seem to remember it having one, but maybe it didn't.
From memory, but it did start it with the rake. I do remember that.
That's what I'm thinking of. Okay, it was the rake, right? Okay.
It did Slenderman start with the rake.
Yeah,
so, yeah. Yeah, no. Someone, a good friend of mine on Instagram, I won't share details about him, of course, he likes privacy, but so a good friend of mine on Instagram, he basically went, so here's an idea that I think should be good. Like, why don't you give your own version of a summary? Like, not you, but like, why doesn't Dr. Torment at the end of his narrations or tellings, whatever, explain in his own words what the story was about in a short 2 to 5 minute thing? That way you have more length to your videos, even if they are short. That was point one. Point two, it's something unique. It's not on your channel before. It just fits the character. And I'll admit at first I was dismissive because it's kind of like, all right, this is my channel. You don't tell me what to do. But yeah, also he's a very good friend of mine again. So we basically have this kind of conversations. But then a week later, I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it out. Let's just write something short about the rake. Say it in my words, and see what comes off from that. And the reception of it has been very positive, actually. I think from everyone on Discord and the community itself, it's like, yeah, we want more Dr. Torment notes about this story and this story. It's like, all right, we're going to keep that one. I never thanked him, by the way.
I never did thank him.
But I will. But I will, because he's going to visit anyway.
Well, there you go. We speak with
each other on an almost daily basis. So this is my reminder to myself to thank him for that. But I'm sure he knows.
Well, thank you for that, because that was something that even for me, I think anything you can do to add more add more story to your content.
Right.
And that adds more personality to Dr. Torment as a person.
Character.
And as a character. Thank
right.
you. Yes.
Right.
So like, I think for the average listener, like it almost is like, okay, so this Dr. Torment isn't just like a YouTube name. It's like, this is an actual character. This is a being, this is an entity, if you will.
Right. I'll admit that came later on from my side, when I was toying with the idea of, you know, I've seen narrators make this lore for the OG characters, if you will. And I was like, you know what? If I'm doing the Dr. Torment notes and I'm doing the filter over the voice thing, I'm basically doing the same thing. I'm adding a little bit of lore. And now, if you listen to some of the narrations that have a note section in it, you'll notice that at the end, I put in something, a little tidbit, something a little sinister, quote unquote. Like, well, which one was it? The Onirophage is when I started doing that. Yes. Around the Onirophage is when I started doing that. So the little sinister tidbits, little comments like, oh, maybe I should have this device, something like that.
Just ways to add more kind of
personality and character.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Adding more personality to our friend Dr. Torment is always a good thing.
Because, you know, it's one thing to listen to a summary, but just add something that the character would say or do as well. Mm. And that's great.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, I would like that. Or, you know, if you someone dies in a horrific way or whatever, it's like, it's almost like a snarky line in like an action movie or something.
Yeah, like a snarky, nonchalant line. I want to say Homelander-ish, but that would be a bit heavyweight.
Yeah, it's almost like, I don't know why, for some reason I was thinking of like, was it like CSI, where the dude always like says something and he puts on
the one with the glasses. Like, yeah.
Whatever show that is, I can't remember the name of it right now.
Horatio Kane with his one-liners.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's awesome. Like, just to be able to, especially with how much I feel you've really dialed into your voice for Dr. Torment and who you are as a narrator, because obviously, you know, as we had this conversation on this day last year, I was a fan of yours from day one, but as someone who has watched this progression, it's like, I feel like you kind of, in some stories, you kind of backed off on the effects on your voice in some ways, and kind of just let your voice kind of tell the story. I guess that was more with like some of the, like the dark poetry reading and stuff like that.
Right.
Gone into this year.
Right. Because with stories like the creepypasta, which one was it again? The Gift of Mercy. I felt it was kind of necessary to put a voice modulator over it because it's an alien message.
Right.
So I thought it should sound a little weird, like a little garbled that it came from, you know, outer space. And we are just intercepting it as we are. But then, with the poetry and especially the Gothic poetry of Edgar Allan Poe, I felt if I was going to do that, it would just take away from it. Because I think with poetry, you need to read it in your own voice, in your own way. Just, it comes across as more genuine, really.
Yeah, and I think that for, like when you told me you were going to be doing the kind of the Edgar Allan Poe thing, and starting to get into the kind of the dark
Poe-semba stuff.
Yes, I was kind of like, oh, that's awesome, but I wasn't ready for just how into that world you were going to get as far as how well your voice was going to fit that world. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I remember reading on a comment that someone ended up comparing you to like an alternative version of like Vincent Price or something in that.
A younger Vincent Price. Yeah, I remember that one. I remember that one actually.
That's a hell of a compliment.
Was that Arthur? I think Arthur said something similar like that.
Maybe.
No.
Okay.
I think maybe so. But Arthur said something similar like that. I don't think Vincent Price, but close to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was an actual comment on YouTube that made me giggle, like, oh, you're like a young Vincent Price. I'm like, excuse, okay. I don't know what to do with this positivity. Let me have another coffee first.
Yeah, it's like more positivity. What the hell's going on? Like,
people like this?
You actually like me? You mean you guys aren't all listening ironically? What?
You're fans? You're not doing me just a favor? Hold on.
You mean you guys aren't...
And just from that comment, I actually knew it couldn't be one of my friends because, well, honestly, they don't know Vincent Price is, and I should find new friends.
Right. It's like, it's like if a compliment like that, it's like, that's got to be a bit of a confidence boost. It is.
Like, my God, man. Vincent Price, I know it's like a small comment. I should be worked up about it, but it's so, if people who don't know Vincent Price just don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my God, my first introduction to the man was when he played Professor Radigan in The Great Mouse Detective. It was fucking menacing. I love that. Oh, was I swearing?
That's okay. Absolutely terrifying character, by the way.
I like how bipolar he is, but then I also read stuff like Vincent used to do these movements while he is narrating stuff. When he is voicing stuff, and they actually put his movements into the character, like animated into them.
Yeah.
And it's like so basically when you see him laughing, it's like, so Vincent was just laughing in the studio and they decided to animate around that.
Which is, I think that's how it should
wild.
Be. When you're, it reminds me of like the, I'm not going to remember his name, but the actor who plays Gollum.
Just imagine being on the cafeteria and you hear Vincent Price laughing in the background. Someone's like, somebody quick record that. We can animate around this. Because he would do that. He would just laugh out of anywhere.
He was I still remember when you
Gollum
sent
also.
Me. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The actor who plays whose name I am drawing a blank on. He's a brilliant actor and voice actor.
Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis. Thank you. Yes. He was just going to do the voice. And then as he was like recording, he was doing all the movements. So they were like, we're just going to have you do the motion capture for Gollum. Like, because no one's going to do it the way you can.
Fantastic, though.
Yeah. I mean, he is. Have you heard, you probably have any of like the audiobooks of him just reading Lord of the Rings?
The Hobbit. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, The Hobbit. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic, man. I mean, if they just made a movie with him just narrating and make it stop motion or something like that, would have been perfect.
License to print money. License to print money. But what, one of the ones in that kind of gothic poetry era that I was, I'll be honest, when I saw that you uploaded, I was kind of like, really? Like, interesting.
This interests you.
It ended up being my favorite one, actually, I think anyway, which was your version of Annabelle Lee. I really liked it because it still had that level of, because it's a very, almost like romantic-esque poem, obviously, but it's still also super dark. And the way you read it, it towed the line so well in like, you're talking about a lost love in that, but also super, that underlying tone.
Forlornness, I want to say.
Yes, yes.
And that one actually has a bit of a secret. Personal experience. Not that an ex of mine died, of course, no, but the feeling of loss. And as you read the lines, you really get into that. And it resonates, just resonates. Loss can mean so many things. Death, what happened to me, I won't go into details over that. But I've trust issues.
I think everyone can kind of relate to And that's why his work is so popular still to this day, is everyone take something from his work. But as a narrator, like you just brought this up, so I want to get into this. When you are reading a story, like Annabelle Lee, obviously you can kind of draw from personal experience due to that type of that type of content. But like, say for something like, let's say The Gift of Mercy. Let's say The Gift of Mercy. Are you drawing from something with that as a narrator? Like, what do you do to kind of get yourself in the proper headspace, so to speak, to do narrations, or can you just kind of turn it on and off?
A bit of both, actually. So first I need to read the story because I need to understand what the theme is of the story. And with, I want to say the title, but I keep having another title in my head. So The Gift of Mercy, for example, the main theme that I got out of it is regret and not being able to reverse what's been done, especially towards the end, you get that. But, and yeah, of course, we have all done things that we regret and we can't really take back or rewind and redo, if you will. And at the same time, at the same time, you don't want to think about things that you regret at the same time, because it takes you to a bad headspace. I knew that I had that a few times reading that one, because a few memories came flooding back to me. I was like, yeah, you know what? We'll turn on the sociopath with this one. And that's where the button comes in. It's still in my head, but you can just put it aside. I'll deal with it later. And then I have a coffee.
And then I have a coffee. I think that for people who do horror content, being able to have that button, so to speak, is so crucially important, because it would be exhausting if every single time you had to draw on personal experiences for a story and then couldn't just turn it off when you were done. Like, that would,
the best example I can give you about turning the button on and off, that with no real personal experience with the themes, shall I say, actually two stories. So one is I Hate Eating, which is a story in the perspective of a zombie. So a conscious zombie, like, he's in there, he's in the head, but his body is not his own. And he's basically commenting on what's happening. And my all-time favorite, I've forgotten the title. That's a good start, Doctor. The Deal in Salem. The Deal that doomed Salem, excuse me. So those two perfect examples of where I'm just switching it on and off per character. Because, of course, I cannot relate to a zombie that's, well, I'm not going to spoil anything, but that eats things that no human should eat. And I can also not put myself in the headspace of an archdemon of the unholy trinity himself, so... It's weird that if I could.
Let's be honest. Yes, you can, but no.
I can mimic sociality with demons. Okay, that's more than enough.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think that was something that was so interesting for me, having to have gotten to know you over the last year, like. You're generally such a happy, fun guy who is like always joking around and stuff. And we're always breaking each other's chops and stuff. But then
we do
to kind of, yeah, no, never. We don't say, don't say we hate each other.
I wasn't trying even. Wow. Okay.
Oh man. Something I think I forgot to tell you this. I was telling this now because it's funny. Why not tell you on air? The other day, I don't even remember when this was, but apparently you and I were really like, saying like how much we hate each other or something, and then like,
oh, right,
yeah, and then like it was like, hey,
every other day, okay. Yeah.
And then as soon as you left, I was like, I hate that guy. Like, I think I used an extremity or two, extremity. I think I used an explicit word or two in there. And I don't remember who was on, but they were like, what? Like, you do? And I was like, yeah. I'm like, oh, I don't like that guy.
Oh, man. God.
He's, no, he's such a jerk. And like, and they were like,
oh, lads, we have to clear that one up.
Like, it got super quiet. And I was like, oh, my God, you know I'm joking, right? And he's like, oh, okay, thank God. I thought you actually hated him. I was like, no. Like, what do you mean? Like,
oh, God.
I was like, yeah, let's clear that up. I don't remember who it was. So if you're listening to this, you'll probably message me. But yeah, no.
I want to say Tanner, but I'm not
maybe
sure.
Maybe it was Tanner. I was like, yeah, shout out to our boy Tanner from Baseline Feed. He was like, oh, like, I don't think it was because we do the same thing.
You know, we have right? So many Discord conversations, man. I don't know why.
Keep track of who this was. Yeah, who's doing what. But yeah, so like, it's so fun for me to watch you turn on that that switch and be like, he really turned it on for this one. But even from the standpoint of someone who got the honor of being a part of one of your stories this past year, which
Seven
by the
Gates
way,
of Hell.
Yes, which by the way, hang on, I'm just refreshing. Where'd it go? Oh no, where'd it go? I'm looking at it.
you lost your own
currently
video.
Has. As of right now, 666 views. Just want to throw that out there.
Exciting, isn't it?
Seven Gates of Hell, 666. I mean, come on.
Perfection, man. That's perfection. It's all coming together.
Yeah, actually, it's stuck at 665, but I swear it was just a 666. But whatever. Anyway, let's just say it's a 666. But as someone who got to kind of see what you do, as far as taking a voice and adding some color to it and adding your sound design and the music, like, you really have a brilliant mind for sound design. And as someone who now dabbles in that, like, it's not an easy thing to learn, but you really went, especially for that story, man, you really, really went above and beyond for that.
Right. Oh my God. I remember that was actually a very experimental story for me, if you believe in editing, I mean. It's like, okay, this is the first time that I have like seven people that are playing different characters in the story. And I need to show that this is, you know, up to par, because I know Tana has been in works. I know that Liliana has been in works. It's like, show off is actually a bad word. I don't like it. Wow, I've forgotten my words. I actually had a whole line of thought there. So yeah, basically, I didn't want to show off like I'm being lazy with it.
I get it. That's when
what
you're
it comes
working,
across.
Yeah. Sorry, when you're working with people who are other creators, it's like, right. And especially knowing like someone like anyone who's involved with Baseline Feed, because they go so. Like Tanner goes hard in the paint, man. He doesn't mess around when it comes to sound. So it's like there's that little bit of a fire maybe lit under you where it's like, I got to knock this out of the park. Like
that, I was aware of Tanner that, yeah, when he is doing sound design, it's fucking great. You know, yeah. It's like, yes, more of that, please. This is the reason I listen back just to hear a little sound like, oh, I wonder if that was Tanner.
Yeah, I am. And considering what you did, even like just my line, so to speak, like I think I sent you like three
the
or four.
The torture line.
Yeah. We are the tortured. I sent you like my, I call it my doctor. What's his name? Dr. Claw, the villain.
Dr. Claw,
from,
yes.
Yeah,
yeah, from Inspector like, Gadget.
We are the tortures. Like very almost cartoonish. And I was like, he's not going to pick this one. This one's a little ridiculous.
I mean, it's torturer.
Yeah, yeah. But what I thought it was very cartoonish. And then you were like, oh, I'm using that one. And I was like, really? Like, how is this going to sound?
Well, why would you?
And it was more a me thing where it was like, I was like, I don't think that was very good. Like, self-doubt, imposter syndrome. And then once I heard it, I was like, get out of here. Like, what? Like,
what did you do?
Yeah. When someone can make, especially as someone who, you know, as this is dropping, I'm launching tapes next week. We're not going to talk about it because it has nothing to do with this conversation. But as someone who now is doing something kind of similar, very different, but, you know, as far as the world of sound design and music and editing voices and stuff for horror.
Oh, yes.
It's like when you're working with someone else's voice, I wonder if you feel the same. Is it almost like, not like it's a totally different thing, but like you really can take yourself out of the maybe any self-doubt you might have about your performance and just pick, okay, here's this person's performance. I like this performance. Let's make it sound as awesome as possible. And then almost like you can focus more on like sound design and stuff like that. Do you like, find that at all or?
Partially, like, you know, back in the day when I asked you guys to do those lines, mm-hmm. I was also kind of hammering on the timing. Well, hammering is maybe the wrong word, but I did send you notifications.
Yes.
Right. And that's basically because I need to hear the voices first before I start doing my own narration or say my own editing, because I want it to fit, you know. I need to know if, say, let's say your Dr. Claw voice is in lieu with the part that I'm narrating. We're in the same tone. Like if you're going to go for intimidating Dr. Claw, then my character, which basically was the character in, that narrates the story, should be a little bit of meek and, well, pathetic, for not using too strong of words.
Which that's not really something you dabble in too much. Usually your performances are usually very strong and dark, at least for the most part. So to hear you kind of do that more meek type of performance, I love that story.
It's strange.
I was in it, but yeah, it was so cool to hear. And everyone who was in that did an amazing job. Shout outs to Narrative Noob, one of our buddies who does narration, Tanner from Baseline Feed, of course, Eric Phones, and then Liliana Roman as well.
And yourself. Don't forget yourself.
Yeah, you know, whatever. some dude.
With an interview podcast. It's fine.
Who cares? but it's like, I love just hearing everyone together. And that could have easily been a bit of a convoluted mess with so many different voices. And
I think I was actually everything afraid fits of that
so
too.
Well. Yeah. And I think everyone just fit together so well. Like it was just everyone was slotted in because we all do have very different voices. You know, I mean, Eric and I kind of went the raspier route, I guess, because that's more our bread and butter. Yes. But, you know, and then ending off with Liliana in that role that she was in, it was like
that's perfection.
Perfection.
Like everything you've gone through, then it just ends with something soft and terrifying at the same time,
which is almost the scariest part of the whole story.
It actually is. Like props to her, she only had one sentence to go on. It's like, okay, she's given me three versions, and yeah, it was really hard for me to choose one. Really hard.
Yeah, as someone who has worked with all of those voice actors before, except for I have not had the pleasure of working with Narrative Noob yet on my upcoming project, but it's coming. As someone who's worked with all of those guys before, I mean, especially Liliana, I mean, at this point, I've probably edited her voice more than anyone except for myself. It's like sometimes when you're sent things and it's like, oh, hey, I did like six versions of this. Sometimes that can be like, oh, like just send me one or two. But for short form stuff, it can make it tricky when you're like, oh, like what am I going to use for this?
And, yeah, that's actually part of the reason that I went for poetry. Mm-hmm. Because they are short form. They're like not like, you know, the YouTube reels or whatever they are. I generally don't like that. But back to the short form stuff. So that's basically why I chose poetry. Like it's short form. It's like 2 or 3 minutes, maybe 4 or 5 with the end credits in there. But, you know, it's something short. You can watch it during the break. You can get acquainted with the channel while you're at it. Have a look.
Have a look around. See what's stick around the asylum for a while. See what's going on.
Stick around the asylum for a while. It's not like you're going to get out anyway. So make yourself comfortable.
Well, and speaking of staying in the asylum, I have to bring this up because it was something that also happened this year. Since we talked, you launched your Discord community.
Yes, I did.
Yes. How has that whole thing been for you, just with being on Discord?
I enjoy Discord more than other social media platforms. And I think you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that I also have Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, so on. But I prefer Discord just a little more. You're in contact with everyone. It's more direct. Even with other narrators, it's just so easier to connect, you know? Like on Twitter, it feels like I have to make a business talk almost with everyone. And then with Discord, it's just like casual.
I feel like Discord is the best way to just get in direct contact with the people who really care about what you're doing.
Absolutely. I also have a permanent invitation in my link tree that I put with my videos.
Mm-hmm.
Just putting it out there.
Come join the asylum, friends. It's really, 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 really fun.
Admittance open for all. And if this is your first time, free lobotomy. It's always fun.
Free lobotomies. Well, I think one of my favorite things about what you do is the... where is it? The tormentful conundrums where you like you post a different like
you.
Yeah.
You want to know what my actual inspiration for that one was?
Yes, please tell me.
So I was playing Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that either Joker or Hugo Strange says things through the loudspeakers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to make a channel just for that. Well, I just give in a random little quote that you can quote unquote hear over the speakers and just put it on there. Sometimes it's silly stuff and sometimes it's insightful stuff that even I'm surprising myself with.
I want to read a couple of these real quick here for the listeners of the
Hobbit Some of them are on repeat just to keep in that theme because
of course. Yeah, of course. Because I can just hear in your voice like these little things.
Like the Dr. Tolman voice.
Yeah, with that effect, that effect on it. It's like
I actually want to try that one now.
You should. As you traverse the asylum and recollect the shattered remains of yourself, no, it is not the destination that matters. It is the journey. That's a little inspirational.
Inspirational, but terrifying at the same time, because you don't know what the journey will entail.
Mm-hmm. I understand you can't wait to get out of here. Feel the warm sunshine on your face again. Well, good luck with that.
See, that's what I mean. Like sometimes it can feel like endearing, but then it ends with, yeah, good luck with that.
Humans truly fascinate me. In a universe full of wonders, they went and invented boredom. Truly fascinating.
That I will admit, that is a Terry Pratchett quote from Death.
Okay. I was going to say that sounded familiar.
It's such a profound quote, and I love Terry Pratchett to Death, especially the character of Death. It's like, yes, I'm going to throw that one in there.
Of course. Do not attempt to escape from this facility. Nameless things will intercept any and all attempted escapes with extreme prejudice and hunger.
I can see there's a little bit of a protest going on with that one.
Yeah, there's a couple of what the someone downvoted it and yeah.
Jinxie, no.
Yeah, Jinxie downvoted. Come on, Jinxie, what the hell? This is the last one I want to read. It's the last one you have posted here. One relies on mere sight to perceive your world, it is like trying to stare at the cosmos through a crack in the door. That one's almost just like a really thoughtful, thought-provoking.
I'll admit I was reading Lovecraft at the time. And then sometimes when the fancy hits me, it's like, yeah, I'm going to hear something that's fun.
I picture like, it's just like you, and this is just like, if I had it my way, every time I entered the Discord, that sound of like the speaker coming on would just pop up, and it would just be you in the Dr. Torment voice, just like saying something like that, or just monologuing for like a couple minutes about just whatever. Like every time I just like, and then it's just like, you know, you literally, you know, funny thing about plants is they are quite fragile no matter how well laid they are, and life does love to dash expectations to the ground. Like, anyway, have a wonderful stay. It's just like, it's like, what? Or like, you know, yeah, you know, this is a stage 5 alarm, this is not a drill, all will die. And it's just like, what? Like, I just picture you doing that.
Personnel must surrender themselves for psychological profiling at regular stages. Refusal will not be tolerated.
I love it so much. I forgot you can do that with your program.
With my program?
Yeah, I forgot you can do that. I'm so jealous of that. Oh, you right. Just turn that on and off.
Yeah, it's a handy little thing, voice mod. It's a handy little thing. I love it to death.
Yeah,
actually every time, me a yeah. lot of narrations.
Yeah, anytime. And that's something that's so cool about what you do compared to what I do, where everything I do is in post. And it's like, sometimes I would be so jealous of that, to be able to do just click a button and have that voice. But then also I'd be stressing out the entire time. So it's like, if I make a mistake, it's like.
Yeah, it actually is. If you make a mistake, it's like, I have to start all over.
I got to start all.
Not even then.
I love it. But yeah, for those of you who are listening to this and you're like, oh, let's talk to Tormai guy. Seems like someone I want to just follow blindly into through life. Definitely come be a part of the Asylum. What is it? The Asylum Tormentorum? Tormentorum?
Working name.
Working name.
It's a working name. A little bit of a spoiler, but I'm working with a pretty renowned writer in the podcast community with a Dr. Torment quote unquote series. Like in the Tormentology section, which was meant for fun, but it kind of got picked up to be rather serious now. Mm-hmm. Basically the lore around the character. We already talked about this in the Discord chats, I think.
Yes, we sure did. And I happen to know who it is, and I happen to know a little bit about it. So I'm like, you know.
But that's for later day. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Promise.
Yes. So on that note, two things I wanted to make sure I ask you here before I let you go. One of which is pertaining to that, but we're going to end off with that. I want to ask your opinion on something that I've been having this conversation a lot with fellow horror narrator people and just content creators in general. For yourself, do you find there is more value in having shorter content, meaning like under, say, 20 minutes, as opposed to having longer content? What do you personally like more as a consumer of content and a creator?
That's actually a very good question. So when you say shorter content, my mind immediately goes to like TikTok and Instagram reels and whatnot. Of that, not particularly a big fan of, but that's 1 minute content. That doesn't really count anyway. It kind of depends on how much time as an individual do you have to sit down or listen while you're busy at work or chores at home. Mm-hmm. It kind of depends, real. It's a weird line to walk in. Like sometimes shorter content is preferable because you know how the people outside are. They don't like long form anymore. But then there are people who do like long form and that can, well, you know, listen to 1 hour to what you have to say. It's a weird thing to walk in. But I'd say, if there was a middle ground to it, I'd happily take that option, but I prefer long form if I have to make a choice. Like, I know my content is usually like, I don't know, 5 to 10 minutes long, not that long.
I think that's perfect. And when I say shorter content, that's kind of more what I'm referring to. Okay. It's like that 5 to 20 minute, somewhere in that ballpark. I find that anything over 20 is when it starts to get a little, for some people
anyway.
I do believe
I partially answered that question a little while back in the interview, right? Because, what was it again I said? Oh, it was so poetic. How could I have forgotten? it's not only like time schedules that play a factor then, because, you know, you also need to have the time to say, do a 40 minute narration. Never again going to do that of Lovecraft. My God. More on that later. But people's attention span aren't just really that long. Or when you're sitting down during the break at work, you don't have like always half an hour or 10 minutes to listen to stuff. So if you find something that's like 3 to 5 minutes long, you can put it in your break and it doesn't really interfere with how hasty you are during your break, you know, that time is not a factor. You're going to go for shorter content.
Right. Or if you're, you know, you're commuting to work, but your commute, say, 20 minutes long, you know, it's like, instead of, I find that's where it starts to get hard for me. Like, unless I'm listening at work, then I don't necessarily mind the longer content, but like,
but that's more than, now that's basically background noise when you do it like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for me, that 20 minute ish time frame, I really feel like that's, or it's like you have two or three stories making up an hour, right? That is like, they're all around that 5 to 20 minute mark and they make up an hour.
Right. Compilation.
Yes. Yes. I feel like that's really what I myself love as a consumer of content. When you have one story that's just an hour long, I can still dig that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying,
I mean, if
I like
it's good, it's good, yeah, you know.
But it's like, I think it depends on the content. If it's just like an audio narration of the exact same story with no breaks of any kind, as far as like I love what SCP Archives does with their longer form content. It feels like multiple different stories, right? You know,
that's SCP Universe for you.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, here's the description. Here's an addendum. Here's a this. Here's a that. Like,
here's a case. Here's a scenario.
Right.
There's something new with every new thing, basically.
Exactly. And that's what's so awesome.
And that's the thing that I wanted to say before, because I'm never going to do a one take of H.P. Lovecraft's short or longer stories. It's my God, man. I mean, I don't know if you've picked it up, but I was basically that day challenging myself, like, all right, within 24 hours, I'm going to record, edit, and produce a whole story of H.P. Lovecraft, The Nameless City. I'm going to do that. Never again am I going to do that like that. No, I'm going to take a full week next time, because I was burned out at the end of that. I was just burned out. And then after that was another 20-minute story from Reddit, Yummy. And I really had to push myself through that after Nameless City. It's like, what's heavy material to start with? Lovecraft loves his tongue rollers, if you will. And my God, the sentences carry on. They go on. Lovely. It's still a good story, don't get me wrong. Like, it gets you seated. There's something new happening every time. But for me, yeah, I'm not going to do that like that anymore. No, it's going to be planning and no more challenge under caffeine.
And I think that it's cool to challenge yourself. Don't get me wrong. Like, and
I mean, I for what it turned out, I'm actually excited. I'm actually very glad how it turned out. Normally, I hate my stuff.
Normally, it's like, I suck. I think most people, I think most creators kind of can be in that,
But I can't understand if you like listen to it for 40 minutes, the same voice the entire time. I can understand why that would be like a little bit fatigued, though.
I do understand that for sure, because it's like, what?
You have such an annoying voice yourself. Of course you understand.
Well, yeah, of course. Having to listen to myself talk for more than a minute is exhausting.
Right.
You're not the only one.
And here I am. How long am I doing it for? My God, I should
be close to an hour now. It's like
you've no idea how much I'm holding myself back right now.
People are like, why is he being so mean? It's like, you don't understand. You don't get it. You don't get it.
We're friendos. Leave us alone. We can talk this way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's what's just been so fun over. And it's like when we realized that, like, oh, we're almost at our year anniversary of doing the episode. We've been joking about this for months, and it's like, well, we got to do something. And it's like,
where are my flowers? Damn it!
Yeah, they're in the mail. They'll be
good.
Where are my flowers?
I thought you were a strong, independent man. I didn't think you need flowers.
No, I'm not. I am. Just ask my wife. Anyway.
No, that explains a lot.
It's like, did someone send you flowers? It's like, don't worry about it. It's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. It's just a simp on the internet.
Just a simp on the internet.
He has a very pale face.
We got to be careful. Near
skeletal.
Because next thing you know, there's going to be like fucking, what's the term, like you ship two characters together? What is that thing? What's that like?
Ah, I know what you mean. Rule 34.
Yeah, I've heard. Oh, or that. Yeah, that, I wasn't thinking quite that far. But
No, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I've forgotten the name myself. I think it was a Korean word. Not sure.
Oh, it's like, you know.
Yaoi? Want to say yaoi?
I have no idea.
Something like that.
I see it all the time in the Has-Been Hotel universe where it's like, someone's like, oh, I don't mind if you ship these two characters. And I'm like, what the hell does that mean? And it's like, oh, it's like they're romantically entangled. I'm like, oh, okay, well, why don't you just say that?
To be fair, being a fan myself, I think the fandom is going a little bit overboard with
shipping.
That is before the show came out. Now that the show is out, it's like, my God.
Yeah, it's...
they haven't gone far enough.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to watch. And then now, I mean, just, you know how obsessed I am with Has-Been Hotel. Like,
I had a feeling.
Yeah, I love that. And it's like, to watch
all three characters go.
Yeah, to how awesome it has been, in the voice acting is just, it's just brilliant. But we didn't talk about Star Wars at all in this one. So just as
we're winding, Hold on. I want to know your top three characters of Has-Been Hotel first.
Oh, sorry. I mean, geez. Probably it comes as a show. You know what, actually? I think Lucifer is my favorite character.
Yeah.
Yeah, just because I was so shocked on how he was portrayed.
Because we have already heard rumors like it's going to be a deadbeat father, it's going to ignore Charlie, stuff we picked up from the pilots, you know?
Right.
And then it's like, oh, this is not a bad guy at all. He just misses family. He's depressed because of divorce. I mean, kind of relatable.
Yeah. My daughter wants to see me. Take that depression. It's like, he's yelling at a duck. I'm like, what the fuck? It just, yeah. I mean,
wouldn't you? It's yeah.
It's
he tries his best. I don't get why people still call him a bad dad.
It's one of those things where, like, I think
because right at the end he showed up, you know,
exactly. Sorry, I'm late.
Spoilers, just, by the way.
yeah. We won't say any more of that, but yeah. It's one of those things. Shows up. Yeah. If you're a fan of horror,
actually, it's been out for almost 2 months. If you say spoiler now, it's kind of redundant.
Yeah. Fair enough. But spoiler alert. Yeah. It's like, I think I was so, like, I knew it wasn't going to be a serious, like, dark portrayal, but, like, I was, like, just at how much I loved how he was written, how he was voiced, just, like, the fact that, like, I mean, dude, like, the episode when he shows up, I can't remember the name of it, but, like, when...
That'd be dad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Like, when...
Something like that.
Yeah, it's like deadbeat Hell's father or something.
Dad's, something like that. Hell's greatest father. Maybe, I don't know.
I think that's what it was, like Hell's greatest father or something like that. But like when, like halfway through that episode, when you really start to realize, like, oh, this man is just broken. Like he's broken from what happened to him in the story with Heaven and stuff, and then his wife leaves his, you know, his daughter and him don't have a relationship because he doesn't know how to
react to her.
Yeah. Well, like he doesn't know who she is. He doesn't know. He wants to so bad, but he doesn't know. Like, who
he doesn't
are
know
you?
How to puzzle himself in.
Yeah, it's like he doesn't know how to have a relationship with her. He wants one, but he doesn't know how. And then
there's a strong intonation that Lilith has something to do with it. Like, maybe keep her away from Lucifer.
Yes.
And I don't like the direction that I think that Lilith is going to be probably the villain for season two and three.
For sure she's the villain. And I'm kind of like...
Yeah, but I don't like that. I wanted that Adam and Gomez kind of love that was promised in the pilot and after. And I want that. I'm just a simp for that. Like,
you're just a simp for the Lilith and the...
Lilifer. I'm a fan of the Lilifer ship.
Yeah, but I love, and then like, I mean, more than anything, the song that him and Charlie, I mean, that dude openly weeping, like just, yeah, when he's like, you know, I've been dying to find out who you are, blah, 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 like, and then it's like, just like snap. Oh,
right.
You're like me. You're my child. Like, why have I wasted so much?
Far.
Yeah, why have I wasted so much time thinking we are so different when at the end of the day we're literally like at our core we're the same person because you're my child. And it's like, and I'm like, hell yeah! Anything to do with that kind of stuff for whatever reason just makes me like all teary and shit. Anyway, quickly run through the other two. I mean, Alistair, come on,
fair enough.
The radio demon, badass.
I'm gonna give you a little spoiler. I'm going to give you a little spoiler, but in my top five, Alistair's not in it. Unpopular opinion that, but...
Okay, continue. I get it, though. I get it. And then third, that's a hard one. I mean, probably... why am I drawing a blank on his fucking name?
Describe them.
Spider Demon. Dude.
Angel Dust.
Angel, good Lord. Angel Dust, yeah, just because his arc throughout the whole series has been brilliant, and the voice actor who plays him is...
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I'm still partial to the first voice actor.
Yes.
And the drama around, well, basically the reason is that he can't sing, quote-unquote, is why they didn't let him go on the show. Mm-hmm. But then I've heard him sing in other projects. And then Black Griffin's latest Hasbro Hotel video, the goodbye video from the original cast. Like, oh, and suddenly the argument of he can't sing just kind of drops in the water for me. It's like, nah, that's not the reason why you didn't allow him.
I think there's so much that going said, on behind the scenes, yeah.
But that said, the voice actor does him now, Roman, fantastic. I mean, he does a very good job as well. My God,
he's brilliant.
If you didn't tell me that Michael Kovac, the OG, was replaced, I'd say that was still him. it's a good performance.
No, for sure. So quickly, give me your five, because now you got me curious.
My five.
Give me your five. Okay, give me your three. Let's say three.
Yeah, I'll go with five. Sure. Okay, go with five. Number one, Lucifer, obviously. Mm-hmm. Number two, Nifty, obviously. I like her.
I'm not even shocked. I love Nifty.
I fucking love Nifty.
She's probably my fourth.
I like her. The third, Rosie, because yes, why not?
Again, checks out.
Fourth, Angel, for the same reasons as you do. And five. And five, Husk.
Yeah. I think he's been
not
the
only
best,
because of Keith,
yeah.
not only yeah, because Keith of David. Keith David, but I can basically relate to him because people were, you know, when you're the advisor of the group,
right?
Yeah, kind of like that. So I have the drinks here at my home, and as people have an issue, it's like, can I come over? And I immediately know, like, okay, I'll just get the beers ready.
I'll get the alcohol ready. Tell me your troubles.
I got the alcohol ready. And I usually do not drink because I, as a rule, when people are upset under my roof, I do not drink with them because I don't want to add to that.
Right.
Like add to the negativity, if you will.
You just want to be there for them as a pal and talk to them.
And yeah, sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and they've drank, and they drink a little bit, then they also want to say more what's on their mind, and I can give proper advice. So basically, Husk.
The biggest.
I'm as gruff as he is with his advice. By the way.
The biggest lie told in the Dr. Torment universe is that the guy behind Dr. Torment is an evil person. Let's just be honest. That's
evil, please. That's such a negative word these days. I prefer alternatively good.
Alternatively good. Chaotic good or whatever it is.
Moral surprise. Moral
surprise. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Get, like get the wordplay? Hey, moral.
Uh-huh. Jeez. All right. Dr. Torment, I appreciate the time, my man. We always have fun chatting. I appreciate your friendship and cannot wait to keep seeing what you're doing.
And we haven't even talked about Star Wars.
I know. Next time we'll just talk all Star Wars. Let's just do that. Next, I'll have you on to talk all Star Wars.
Actually, next time, probably I will be making a live stream. So there's a heads up for you folks as well.
Yes, right.
But that will be somewhere next month in April or maybe May. We'll have to see about that.
Awesome. But sounds great.
TJ will be the first to know.
Yay. I'll let y'all know. Keep y'all posted when that's happening. I'll have a link tree down in the description of this podcast, folks. So go check it out. Dr. T, thanks so much for the time, man. I appreciate you.
Always a pleasure, TJ. Till next time.
All right, folks. There you have it. My chat with my buddy, Dr. Torment. Always great getting to chat with him. That episode was just like me hanging out with my buddy. Like at this point, him and I have gotten to be as good of friends basically as you can be over the internet. And having a like-minded creator like him to bounce ideas off of has been so beneficial to me. And he's a wonderful guy, so talented. Check out the link tree in the description of this episode to check out his content. He deserves your support, man. He's the man. Just like you are the man or woman or other identifying gender, because you are listening to this and you're still listening to this. I appreciate it so very, very much. Your support means the world to me. And as this episode is dropping in just a few days, my new secret, not so secret project will be dropping this upcoming Wednesday, March 13th, Tapes of Trepidation, my horror narration podcast will be dropping. I have already had some very kind words about it. I am super nervous, but I know I'm going to get some great support from people who even aren't necessarily horror fans. They just are going to want to support me. It's going to be cool. And this could be something really, really special. And I hope that you guys will come along for the ride. It's going to be a very accessible horror narration podcast. It's not going to be super, super over the top. You know, sometimes like the audio horror world can be a little gory and stuff like that. And some people aren't as into that. But my show is pretty accessible for the most part. You know, obviously there is some squishy sound effects and stuff once in a while. But I think compared to a lot of other shows, I keep things pretty tame compared to some people, which is cool. Don't get me wrong. I love that side of it. But I think it's going to be a little more accessible for people who maybe aren't into horror. It could be a really great way for you to start to get into that world because it is a wonderful world. There are so many talented creators out there, and I'm just hoping to, I'm not looking to try and be in anyone's league. I'm just looking to carve out my own little niche and just have fun and be creative. It's been such a pleasure to get to be creative in this world. It's a totally different muscle that I flex creatively when I do that content compared to when I do this. And I'm really excited. So check it out. Tape of Trepidation. I have the YouTube and Facebook launched March 13th. Keep an eye out for it. I'll share it on my personal social media accounts. And also I'm sure I'll share it on the Harder Show as well. But that being said, we got some cool stuff coming up here on the Harder Show. I'm going to be having a couple of great interviews coming up, and then also kind of another somewhat secret project kind of that I'm working on right now with some old pals of mine who may or may not have had a big comeback lately. April is going to be a very fun month for the Harder Show. Be very afraid, folks. With that, I'm going to sign off here today. Thank you guys so very much for all of the support, and I'll catch you next time right here on The Harder Show. Take it easy, guys.